Now, tonight's message, I know this is a small church in a small town, but what I'm going to say tonight is revolutionary. What I'm going to say tonight would disrupt, if I could get it into the places where I'd like to preach it, would disrupt 95% of what's going on in religion today. But I am confident, I am persuaded, I am as certain as this Bible is the Word of God, that what I'm going to say to you tonight is true. Boldness at the throne. Now, boldness and self-assurance in religion is not hard to find. It's everywhere. It is everywhere. A rich young ruler stood face to face, toe to toe, with the holy law of God Almighty as stated by the Son of God, and boasted, "All these things have I kept from my youth up." That's boldness. That's confidence. That is self-assurance. And that's human nature, and that's man. "All these have I kept from my youth up. What lack I yet?" A Pharisee came into the temple of God and stood before the altar of God Almighty and gave thanks that he was not like other men. He confidently boasted with great boldness and self-assurance. He confidently boasted of his righteousness and his morality and his right to be accepted of God. That's boldness. Our Lord said at the judgment bar of God Almighty, call it the great white throne, if you please, but that place where God Almighty in the person of Jesus Christ will judge the world, people had the audacity and the boldness and the self-confidence to look him in the eye and say, "We prophesied in your name, and we cast out devils in your name, and we did many wonderful works in your name." That is boldness. That's confidence. You talk about self-assurance, that's it. But our Lord said to them, "I never knew you." And I do not detect today, that's Bible examples, I don't detect today any backwardness or hesitancy on the part of people today to express their opinion on anything in this book. I must confess that I've been in that state myself, of which I'm quite ashamed, ready to express my opinion on anything that the Bible says. I don't find any hesitancy on the part of men. I don't find any humility. I don't find any backwardness. Ask them anything, they'll tell you what they think. The character of God may be at stake. The honor of God may be at stake. The purpose of God Almighty might be at stake, but they'll render their opinion without any hesitancy at all. "This is what I think." That's tragic. That's boldness. That's boldness. They may be wrong on some material things, but they're not wrong on the Bible. I do not detect any hesitancy on the part of men to rush into the presence of God. We're taught by preachers today that anybody, anytime can pray. That is not so. Not a word of truth in it. We're taught by preachers today, and the average church member believes at any time, any way, he wants to bow his head and walk into God's holy presence, into the Holy of Holies, before the throne of God Almighty, he's welcome any time, and that's not so. Does that shock you? But you wait till we read some more in the book of Hebrews, chapter 10. I do not detect any hesitancy on the part of any person to claim a personal, intimate relationship with a holy God. I'm saved. I'm God's child. My name's in the book of life. I'm on my way to heaven. I am redeemed. I have peace with God. There's no hesitancy, no humility, no backwardness, no shyness. None of that language of John Newton. Oft it gives me anxious thought. Am I the Lord's or am I not? None of that. If you doubt, you're damned. You don't want to give anybody any idea that you have any doubt whatsoever that you're a child of God. Of course I'm saved. I do not detect any backwardness or hesitancy on the part of anyone to boast of a part in the kingdom of God. Well, I want to be honest with you. I want to speak from my heart. I want no part of this type of religion. I want no part of this vain, empty presumption. I want no part of this religious show, but I'm interested. I'm interested in what Paul's talking about here, boldness to enter the holiest. I want to be there. I do want fellowship with God. I do want to know the Lord. I do want some assurance that I am His. I do want to walk with Him. I want Him to walk with me. I want this boldness to enter the presence of God. The presence of God. I want to hear from God. Don't you? I want boldness to stand before the throne. It's possible. It's here. It's here. Men can pray. But on one condition. Men can reach God. But on one condition. Men can come into God's presence. That's right. Men can have a fellowship with God. You and I, sinners, sons of Adam, fallen creatures, we can know God. It says so in this book. But I'll tell you, it's not based on our having kept the law as the rich young ruler. That's not the basis. And it's not based on our own righteousness as the Pharisee boasted, because both of these men, our Lord said, walked away unredeemed. And it's not because of our good works done in the name of the Lord as these people boasted at the judgment. That's not the basis on which I can come into God's presence. It's not the reason. It's not the basis. It's not the foundation. I can't come into God's holy presence, a guilty son of Adam. I cannot come into God's presence. I cannot have fellowship with Him. I cannot pray on the basis of my works or my morality or my righteousness or my religious profession or the good things that I've done in the name of the Lord. But there is a basis, and it's based on three words here. In Hebrews 10, all of them the same word, having. Having. Back in Old Testament days, that old tabernacle stood, which was the place of meeting. It's where God met man and where man met God. That old tabernacle stood with a place called the Holy Place and a huge veil and a place called the Holiest of All, the Holy of Holies. And that's where God dwelt. And nobody dared come in there. They didn't dare come in there. The only person who would go in that place was the high priest. He was the only one who was permitted to come into the presence of a holy God. The rest of them stayed out. He came representing them. He came and met God for the people, and God met him. Only the high priest, only with the blood atonement, only having his body washed with pure water. Nobody else ever came into God's presence. Nobody else. Nobody was permitted. One fella came in there one time and walked out a leper, white as snow. Two fellas came one time offering strange fire, and they carried them out dead. God Almighty was turning people into lepers now who approached His presence on the wrong basis. 95% of the religious people, preachers included, be walking around here with leprosy. Or if God was killing all the population that dared come into His holy presence, uninvited, well, we wouldn't be many of us walking. And so Paul says here, now listen to it and stay with me. We'll learn something tonight. Every son of Adam just doesn't walk into the throne of grace, into the presence. God is still holy. Your sins have separated you from God, the scripture said. God's angry with the wicked. God is holy. And he says here in verse 19, now listen, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus Christ. There's got to be. Any person who comes into the presence of God has got to have, there's got to be, a sacrifice for sins. And it's got to be an ordained sacrifice. It's got to be an acceptable sacrifice. It's got to be a God-appointed sacrifice, or he better not come. That's so. Well, how did these Old Testament priests come into the presence of God? They came with the blood of the lamb. They came with the blood of the heifer. They came with the blood sacrifice. Not without blood. They didn't dare approach the presence of God without blood. Now, look back at verse 9. This verse is important here. Then said he, Lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second. What does that mean? Well, it's referring to these Old Testament sacrifices back here in the first 8 verses. That's what it's referring to. It's referring to all of the ceremonies and the laws and the sacrifices that God gave to Moses. And God has taken away those sacrifices. He's taken away those ceremonies. He's taken away those types because they've been fulfilled in Christ. Look at verse 4. Well, let's start at verse 1 of Hebrews 10. For the law, having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never with those sacrifices which they offered year by year continually make the comers thereunto perfect. For then would they not have ceased to be offered? Because that the worshippers, once purged, would have no more conscience of sin. But in those sacrifices, there's a remembrance again made of sin every year. It's not possible that the blood of bulls and goats should take away sin. But now turn to verses back over here to verse 12. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God. Verse 14, for by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. We are sanctified by the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. He is our sacrifice. And you needn't encourage the old G.I. Joe over there in war to pray to God. If he doesn't have the sacrifice of Christ, God won't hear it. You needn't encourage the people out here in Ashland, let's all get together and let's all go to the throne of grace. Let's all approach God in prayer. There's none of you coming to God in prayer. None of you going to approach the throne of grace if you don't have the blood sacrifice. If you don't have the atonement. God never permitted anybody in the Old Testament to come into his presence without a blood sacrifice, and he doesn't permit anybody in 1977 to come into his presence without a blood sacrifice. And he taketh away the first. He's taken away that first sacrifice, those first offerings, that he may establish permanently forever the second, which is the offering of the body of his Son. Now that principle is seen throughout the whole Word of God. He taketh away the first that he may establish the second. He took away the first covenant of works. He established the covenant of grace. The first man, Adam, sinned and died, rebelled. God took him away. He established the second Adam, the Lord Jesus Christ. The first paradise, Eden, has been swept away. The second one awaits. The first priesthood, Aaron, is gone. The second priesthood, the eternal priest, is Christ. The first tabernacle is gone. The second tabernacle is Christ. The first birth, born of the flesh. The second birth, born of the Spirit. The first heaven, the first earth shall pass away. There'll be a new heaven and a new earth. This body has got to pass away that God might establish a second, a new body, fashioned like unto the body of his dear Son. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second. And that's our sacrifice, and that's our offering. It's Christ. He bore on the tree the sentence for me, and now both the surety and the sinner are free. Without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. And we cannot exhort all men to pray, or all men to come to God, or all men to approach the throne of grace, or any man to come to God without the blood. That's so. So Hebrews 10, verse 20 says, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the presence of God. How? By the blood of Jesus. Now, if you've got the sacrifice, if your confidence and your faith and your hope and your trust is in Christ, and you come to the Heavenly Father in prayer, or come for salvation, or come for mercy, or come for cleansing, or come for grace, you come pleading the blood of Christ. Not your works, not your faithfulness, not your faith, but pleading His blood. All right, secondly, verse 21. Boldness at the throne. First of all, we got a sacrifice. It's not the blood of an animal, it's the blood of His Son. It's not a temporary sacrifice, it's the permanent one. It's not the first which He's taken away, it's the second which He's established. By one offering, He hath perfected for us. We've got the right sacrifice. Nobody knows your heart but you. Nobody knows whether you believe it or whether you've received it or whether you've trusted it, but that's so. Not without blood. Not without blood. Secondly, and having an high priest over the house of God. Come on. Come on to the presence of God. If you have a high priest. If you don't have a high priest, don't you come. Now that's so. Don't you come. Now let me emphasize this again. The people of Israel would not dare enter the tabernacle. The people of Israel would not dare enter the holiest of all, the presence of God. Once a year, the high priest, ordained of God, and no man took this office on himself, but he who was chosen of God, once a year, the high priest, with the blood, would go into the presence of God. And you know, he had bells on the bottom of this thing that he wore, this linen garment. And the people outside would listen and they'd hear those bells ringing while he was in the Holy of Holies, while he was in the presence of God. They'd hear those bells ringing and they knew that God was speaking to him and he was speaking to God and God was pleased with the sacrifice. They knew he was still alive. They knew he was still alive. The awesome, holy presence of God. And no one would go into God's presence except that high priest once a year. And the people came through him. He represented them. Now turn to Matthew 27. You say, how does it stand today? All right, turn to Matthew 27. In Matthew 27, verse 50. I want you to listen to this, verse 50 and 51. When our Lord died on the cross, that veil in that temple was still there. Those sacrifices still were in effect up to that time. In Matthew 27, 50, and Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. And behold, the veil in the temple, that heavy veil that separated God's presence from the people, was rent in two from the top to the bottom. It was torn apart, signifying that the presence of God was open to the people. And now we're all priests. And now we can all come into the presence of God, not without blood, not without a sacrifice, and not without a high priest. I went home from church this morning and I turned the television on to watch some preachers. And on the television was a Catholic mass being conducted. There was the priest. He had on the priestly garments. He had all of the decorations, the cross. Now listen, we're being honest. We've got to be honest with one another. We've got to be truthful. We've got to be pointed and plain and deal with things as they are. And he stood there in front of the people with the altar boys on either side with the cup and with the bread. And he was representing the people. He was the priest. He was between the people and God. And he was offering again, he said, this is the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he was breaking that body and dipping it in the wine and giving it to the people. But what he was conveying was this, that he was the mediator. They come to God through him. Now, the principle of that is true. We dare not approach God without a high priest. Every one of us, even though we are priests, and even though we come into God's presence to offer sacrifices of love and faith and thanksgiving, even though we can come into the presence of God and the holiest of all is open to us, but still we must have a high priest. And that high priest is the Lord Jesus Christ. Let us come boldly into the presence of God, having a sacrifice, having a blood atonement, but having also a high priest. Having a high priest over the house of God. And that's Christ. And that's Christ. Now, verses 11 through 14 is a comparison between the earthly priest and the priesthood of Christ. It says here in verse 11, and every priest, there were many of them, Christ only one. Their ministry was temporary, his is eternal. It says they standeth daily. They never sat down. He finished his work and sat down. They ministered daily, he only once. Offering oftentimes the same sacrifices, he one sacrifice. Which can never take away sin. Theirs was never effectual. The blood of bulls and goats cannot take away sin. Verse 12, but this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God. Because, verse 14, by that one offering, he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. Thy blood, not mine, O Christ, thy blood so freely spilt has cleansed my blackest sins and purged away my guilt. Thy righteousness, O Christ, alone doth cover me. No righteousness avails except that which is in thee. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And what I'm conveying to you tonight is that God has not changed. That the instructions for coming into the presence of God are still the same. There must be a sacrifice, God appointed, God anointed, God ordained, and God accepted. And that sacrifice is the blood of Christ. There must be a high priest who is God appointed, God anointed, God ordained, and God accepted, and that priest is Christ. And I'm saying that just as in Old Testament days, so in this very day, for he's the same, there is no one who can walk with him or commune with him or fellowship with him or dare come into his presence except with the blood of Christ and through the priesthood and intercession of Jesus Christ. God never heard a prayer offered in the name of Mary. God has never heard a prayer offered in the name of a church. God Almighty has never heard a prayer offered in the name of a saint. God Almighty has never heard a prayer offered by anyone who does not have a knowledge of and faith in Jesus Christ. That's so. Now, I know it's, like I said, that's not what's believed. That's not what is preached. But that's the Scripture. Having boldness, brethren, to enter into the holiest. Is that where you want to be? That's where I want to be, by the blood of Jesus and having a high priest over the house of God. And I know there are a lot of little devotions that are going to be said tonight, but God's not going to hear them. And I know there are a lot of people who are going to bow on their knees before they go to bed and say their prayers, but God's not going to hear them. And I know there are a lot of churches where people are standing praying tonight or saying words and being led in prayer, but I guarantee you God's not heard of one of them unless they are offered in the name of Jesus Christ, on the basis of his blood and depending upon his intercession and his mediatorial work. Let me tell you this. If we didn't have the mediator, with our sinfulness and our foolishness and our filth, the awesome holy presence of God would destroy us when we came. God Almighty cannot receive filth and guilt and sin. And even our righteousnesses are filthy rags. Would God receive the offering of filthy rags? God's holy. And this is the third thing. Now watch verse 22. Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith that we'll be heard. And brother, this is something. Now you think of this. God is going to let me call his name. God is going to let the king of all kings is going to let the beggar of all beggars come into his presence. How far do you reckon you would get if you dressed up in some old filthy rags tonight and went over to England and rushed into Buckingham Palace and told the queen you'd want to sit down and have a little chat with her? And yet we think that we in our filthy, beggarly rags of sin can rush into the awesome, holy presence of the King of Kings. It's not so. God's still a God of holiness and a God of character and a God of righteousness and a God of justice, and we will not be received. The people of Israel knew that. They didn't even use the name God. They called him Jehovah. They were afraid to call him Elohim by his awesome, absolute character. God of mercy, Jehovah Savior. Oh, there's no reluctance in this day. We are so familiar with holy things. We toss them around on the tips of our fingers and the tips of our dirty tongues, just like they were. God said, you thought I was altogether such a one as yourself, and that's where you're at. There's too much of this so-called praying going on. There's too much of this so-called religious talk going on. There's too much of this familiarity with God going on. There's no awe, and there's no reverence, and there's no fear. Holy awe. God is in his holy temple. Let all the earth keep silent. Let thy words be few. When you stand in the presence of God, be not rash with your mouth. We have, think of it, we have boldness to enter the holy presence of God because Christ has shed his blood and given us an acceptable sacrifice. That Old Testament priest came into God's presence and he came with fear and trembling. He had offered the sacrifice. He'd brought the blood. It was the firstling of the flock. It was without spot or blemish. It was all these things were taken care of. But he still came with a trembling heart. If you call God Father past the time of your sojourning, how? With fear and trembling. Not us. Jesus loves me. I'll be a friend of Jesus. Jesus and I are buddies. We're going to build me a mansion next door to Jesus. I'm going to cut his grass and he's going to cut mine. That's awful. But that's today's familiar talk. Sweet Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. When a fellow went off the television today, he said, I want to thank Jesus for making this program possible. That's blasphemy. Now, we'll wait and see. We have boldness to enter into God's holy presence because we got the right sacrifice, that precious blood that was shed on Calvary. And we've got one standing there, sitting at the right hand of God, who's our high priest. He wears our names on his breastplate. He's got the scars in his hands. He doesn't plead my soul, my works and my morality and my righteousness. He says, Lord, accept. Father, accept that no good sinner because I died for him, because I suffered for him, because I'm pleading for him. Father, let him in. I want him in. I will that those whom thou hast given me be with me where I am. The Father's not going to hear you. He's going to hear Christ. That's so, Charlie. Never heard a word you ever said. He's heard Christ on your behalf. That's so. And you pick out the holiest man that ever lived on this earth, John the Baptist, and God never heard a word he said except as Christ spoke. And God never heard a word you said yet except as Christ made it holy. You say, preacher, you talk like people ought to quit praying. In the way that people are praying, they better quit. That's absolutely right. I'm going to give an account of these idle religious words someday. If we can't stand with fear and trembling and humility before his awesome presence and realize we got no right to be there except in Christ. And God's not going to hear us except in Christ. Christ, plead for me. Pray for me. Make my prayers acceptable. Make my offerings and my gifts acceptable. And then thirdly, you watch this. Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Now, let me tell you something. Who shall stand in his presence? We better get the Bible. We better blow the dust off of it. We better go to reading it. He that hath clean hands and a pure heart. There were two things that that old priest did before he dared go into that tabernacle. The first thing he did was wash himself in pure water. Did you know that? He took a bath. He cleansed himself. He washed himself. They washed his clothes. Before he went into that temple, into that tabernacle, he was spotless from the top of his head to the bottom of his feet. His skin was clean. His hair was clean. His hands were clean. His feet were clean. His body was clean. His clothes were clean. And then what's the second thing they did? They sprinkled him with blood. They sprinkled him with blood. And brother, this has got to be true of us. If you want to tell that fella, if you want to mislead him, if you want to throw him a curve, that's all right. You go right ahead. His blood be on your hands. I'm not going to do it. If you want to tell that fella, just go, God will hear you. Just go to God. You tell him that if you want to. You tell him to use the name of God and call on the name of God. That's all right. I'm not going to tell him that. Because it says here that you don't have any right to come into his presence till you've been sprinkled with blood and washed with water. And washed with water. Now we know what the sprinkling of the blood is, don't we? It's the blood of the Redeemer. Our Lord has cleansed us from our sins. As I come into God's presence tonight, as I stand right now in his presence with the opening this book and reading it, and representing him and preaching in his name, and call. I prayed a while ago. Brown, you pray. Some of the rest of you pray. But I can do that because Christ died for me, and because Christ the Lord, the mediator, says, Father, hear him, hear him. He prays for me. And then I can come because in Christ I'm holy. That's right. Turn to Colossians. We read this in our Sunday school class this morning. Colossians chapter 1. Look at Colossians chapter 1. It says, verse 22, in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy, unblameable, unreprovable in his sight. He's made me holy. Look at Ephesians chapter 2. Let's look at chapter 1. Ephesians 1. He said in verse 4 of Ephesians 1, he chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world that we should be holy and without blame. Turn to the book of Jude. Look at Jude, verse 24. Listen to this. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless. Oh, boy, think of it. Faultless. I've been sprinkled with the blood. The way is open. Paul Williams, come on into the presence of God if you've been sprinkled with the blood. Jim Spent, come on in if you've been sprinkled with the blood. But if you hadn't, you better not come. You better not come. That high priest stood out there before he came into God's presence and they sprinkled him with the blood. If they had not gone through that ceremony, God would kill him dead as a doornail. And the second thing, let him be washed with pure water. Now, brethren, I'm going to work something over right here. What are we talking about, this water? Well, turn to John 19. John 19, verse 33. There are many writers, you wouldn't believe this, but there are many writers who have this water symbolized baptism. I don't believe a word of it. I don't believe a word of it. When you go home, and I hope you do, I hope you always do this. When I preach, go home, get your concordances and get your commentaries and get your other translations and read. I don't want you trusting your souls in my hands at all. I want you to go home, search the Scripture, see if these things be so. But I read a half a dozen fellows yesterday, and 5 out of 6 of them said that's baptism. And they compared it with that water out there in the laver before the high priest came in. But top lady said this, John 19, look at verse 33 and 34. When they came to Jesus and saw that he was dead already, they brake not his legs. But one of the soldiers with a spear pierced his side, and forthwith came forth blood and water. Now, we could go into all of the impossibilities. They say if a body's dead, its blood won't spurt forth. And then somebody said, well, the Lord Jesus' body did not see corruption, therefore it had the ability to spurt forth blood. But water wouldn't come out, they say. Well, out of his came blood and water. And top lady said, let the water and the blood from thy wounded side which flowed be of sin the double cure. Save from wrath and make me pure. That's what he said the water is. It both came from Christ. That the blood which they sprinkled on the high priest before he came in the presence of God, that put away his sins and justified him, made him acceptable before God because of transgressions put away. And the water, the sanctifying water, the cleansing, purifying water by which his body is washed is the water that came from Christ too. But let's look at that more closely. There are three scriptures that I want us to look at that I think will help us. Now, here's what I believe, and I say I believe that the water here is a twofold thing. It's the Word and the Spirit. Now, turn to Ephesians chapter 5. In Ephesians 5, it appears that the water which purifies us, and what I'm not leaving my subject now, the only way we can come into God's presence is with the acceptable sacrifice, the blood of Christ, with an ordained high priest, who is Christ, and having our hearts sprinkled with his blood from an evil conscience. But here's what we're on. Our bodies washed with pure water. That priest had to be cleansed by pure water. Now, what is the water in reference to us? Top lady says it's Christ. Just like the blood is. There's no argument there. It is Christ. Everything is Christ. But Ephesians 5 verse 25 says this, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word. By the word. Have you got another one, preacher? Yes. Turn to Psalms 119. Psalm 119, verse 9. Now listen to this. Psalms 119, verse 9. And this says, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. Thy word. You're not coming into God's presence and bypass his word any more than that high priest is coming into his presence and bypass the washing of the water. It's got to be the sprinkling of the blood. Well, I believe in Jesus. I know that. It's got to be the washing of the word. Turn, if you will, to 2 Corinthians 7. Here's another one, 2 Corinthians 7. And we'll get to this other one. I know some of you already hit on me. Don't do that. Stay with me now. 2 Corinthians 7, verse 1. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of the Lord. And what I'm saying is this. It may be a babe in Christ is going to have communion and fellowship with God on the basis of his blood and the light he's received. But now, some of you folks have been Christians for a long time. You've been believers a long time. And unfortunately, you've neglected God's word. You've neglected to grow in grace and in the knowledge of Christ. And that fellowship is going to be interrupted unless you, like having these promises, having the word of God, we need to grow in grace. We need our lives to be cleansed of intemperance and the things that are not pleasing to God. You see what I'm saying? And that's done by the Word of God. Desire the sincere milk of the Word that you may grow thereby. You cannot neglect this book and have fellowship with God. This is what I'm saying. We cannot just lean back, well, I believe, I've had faith, I'm trusting Jesus, and neglect the Word of God. It's by the Word of God that we're cleansed. It's by the Word of God that we're purified. It's by the Word of God that we're sanctified. Sanctify them by thy Word. Thy Word is truth. There's another washing. Turn to Titus chapter 3. Titus chapter 3, verse 5. Titus 3, verse 5. Now listen to this. It's not by works of righteousness which we've done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. The washing of regeneration. That's the sanctifying work of the Holy Spirit. So I'm saying this, and turn to 1 John 5. Let's look at this scripture before we move off of this. 1 John 5. Now listen to this. In 1 John 5, verse 6, this is he that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ. Not by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is truth. There are three that bear record in heaven: the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. Father, Son, Holy Ghost. And these three are one. There are three that bear witness in the earth: the Spirit, and the water, and the blood. Where would you say is the Word of God? It's the water. The Spirit, and the Word, which is what we're reading tonight, and the blood. Those are the three witnesses. I'm just confident that the Word is the water there. The boldness at the throne. We go back and look at this Old Testament priest. And the boldness in the Holy of Holies. The boldness which permitted him to come into God's presence was given him by the right sacrifice. And because of the high priest, and because of the sprinkling of blood and the washing of water. And you and I, now we can, as I say, we can play it. Our souls are so important. Our relationship with God is so important. And I want to meet here. I think next Sunday in a bulletin I'll notify some of our folks we have evening services too. But I want to meet with God, don't you? When we come together, I want to call on him and know that we're heard. I want to come into the Holy of Holies, not carry on a religious ceremony. But we're going to have to know on what foundation we can approach God and by what right we have to come into his presence. And this gives us right here, having boldness, brethren, to enter the presence of God by the blood of Jesus, having a high priest over the house of God, and having our hearts sprinkled with the blood of Christ from an evil conscience, and our bodies washed with the water of the Word. Growing in grace, God's Word doing something about our needs and our growth. You see what I'm saying? Washing of the Word. Day by day. Needs to be done. You haven't arrived. Paul said that. I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, I press towards the mark of the prize of the high calling of Christ Jesus my Lord. And the things that God permitted as a babe in Christ, I don't believe God will permit now. I don't believe he'll permit. I'm supposed to grow. Our Father in heaven, we call thy name because we feel this confidence and full assurance that Christ died for our sins and that he anoints even this prayer, these words, so full of self and sin, so unconsecrated in themselves, so wavering. He consecrates these words, and it's not our words you're hearing at all. It's Christ pleading for us. He makes them holy. And our hearts have been sprinkled with the blood. We dare...